Hi strangers, it's your fave, Mr. He, and welcome back to Calendar Ghouls. Today, we will be talking about a holiday I'm not too familiar with, but very excited to learn about. We are discussing the Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year, and this year, it's Year of the Rabbit. With me today is a longtime friend, a little monster we actually met because of Lady Gaga. He is an artist, the artist behind the Twink on the Sink merch, Kelsey Beyonce sticker, literally drawing portraits of me when nobody else was. So very grateful to that. But not only is he an artist, he's a professional scientist by day, a chemist. Are you a chemist or a biologist?
Chemist.
He's a chemist. He does LA's water systems. And, you know, with this rainfall, he has been so busy because, like this movie, you guys, we know that scientists, they know if the coyotes need to come, if the rabbits need to go, what's the bats doing? How's the water? What about the, you know, the acres of feed? And you guys get the point. Anyway, with me today is the one and only Min Din. Hi, Min.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
So you and I go way back. We met probably 10, 15 years ago on littlemonsters.com or something.
Yeah, probably something like that. I don't really remember. I think
it was born this way, so it had to be over 10 years.
Yeah, I saw a picture of you and then I messaged you. And then found out you lived down the street.
Yeah. Ended up, we were neighbors, which was so crazy to us. Literally lived down the street. And he's been stuck with me ever since. Known to be a troll within my drag family, within my friend group. I'm always the butt of the joke. But hey, I'll take it. You know, I love someone who can sort of sling it back at me. And the reason he's here is because, hi, Chinese icon, you are my Chinese New Year, what's the right word, like aficionado? What's the word for professional?
I guess so. I mean, even with the science thing, I didn't even think about that. Like, this movie's just all the check marks, I guess.
This movie is such a good representation of you and the Year of the Rabbit.
Yeah,
hello?
I guess. It makes sense.
So before we get into the film, I want to know, how was your Chinese New Year? Happy Chinese New Year.
Thank you. It was great. I did the same thing I did every year with my family.
Which is what? I've looked into it a little bit, but what makes the Chinese New Year so much different than a regular New Year celebration?
I'm not that
superstitious.
Yeah. I'm okay. Not that superstitious. And I don't know, something about the Lunar New Year, it's all superstition. Like,
oh, interesting.
It's like, it's good luck to do this, it's good luck to do that. You don't want to do this before, you don't want to do that before. And I follow it all.
Oh, okay. I did see stuff about that, like, don't clean your room on the first day of Chinese New Year. Like, there are so many little rules. And do you know sort of where that stuff comes from? Are there ones you follow and ones you don't? Ones that have more meaning? Is it all to do with luck?
Yeah, it's luck. I don't know where it started. It's just my entire childhood. It's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So the main ones I follow is I have to clean everything that I own, everything I live in on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
My entire house. I have to wash my car. I have to fill my car up with gas beforehand.
Oh.
And then
this just sounds like good habits.
Should be good habits. But I mean, like, it's just like I do like a deep cleaning.
Because if you don't, what happens?
I don't know.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't know. It's just it's just something I do. And then on New Year's Day, you're not supposed to clean.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to sweep. You're not supposed to, like, refill anything, because for the year, it just reflects what you need to do in the year. If you start the year, like, clean and new, that's how your entire year is going to go. So I guess that's the reason why, but...
Oh, it's sort of like prosperity. Like, your cup will always be full if you don't need to refill it.
Yeah. So, like, if you have to clean on New Year's Day, Lunar New Year's Day, like, the entire year you're just gonna have to clean.
I kind of like that.
I guess, but it's you know, it's just something fun to do and like believe in.
Do you have resolutions in the Chinese New Year?
No resolutions. It's just like wishing everybody good luck and prosperity and like a healthy new year. And another thing, I guess, like on the actual first of the Lunar New Year, you're supposed to go to all your family members' houses. So that's good luck. Like you're going to you have a lively home. And I think it's like bonus points if you have a pregnant person come to your house. I don't know why.
Like fertility.
I guess, yeah. Okay. It's just exciting, something like that. So,
did you have a pregnant someone at your house?
I did not. But I did have people over, so I guess I had something.
Yeah.
Well, when my sister was pregnant, she was very popular that day, so it's a thing.
So she just had to go to all these people's houses because they needed a pregnant woman at their house?
Yeah, for good luck. So
I'm obsessed with that. I definitely think in the world of like a good Chinese drag queen, there is someone who dresses up as like a pregnant woman and just gives shows. Just gives shows and goes to everybody's house. Well, so interesting. My other thing I learned about Chinese New Year is there is something about red envelopes, and Min has actually handed me a gorgeous red envelope with, are these koi fish? There's some sort of really cute design on it. What am I looking at?
So you have an authentic red envelope. In Vietnamese, we call it lì xì. And every year on New Year's Day, you receive a red envelope from your elders. And I guess I'm your elder, so you're getting a red envelope.
Okay.
With some gold on it, because red is just good luck. And then gold is also, I mean,
just okay, hold on. So you just said in Vietnamese.
Yes.
Am I super dumb for wondering, do Vietnamese people celebrate the Chinese New Year?
Yeah, I mean it's called the Lunar New Year now. So it's the lunar calendar.
Okay.
So, but like people always call it Chinese New Year as well.
I realized that because I tried to find a Lunar New Year horror film and I could only find one called The Seventh Moon, which was sort of about like the moon schedule, like in China and these like two white people, like, you know, at the wrong place at the wrong time or something like that. Okay. Wait, so are you Chinese or Vietnamese?
I'm Vietnamese.
Why did I think you were Chinese?
I don't know.
OMG, not me becoming like the problematic racist.
You're learning, it's okay.
We're learning, we're educating. Well, I feel like you told me that, it's so funny, when Min told me he was celebrating the Lunar New Year, I guess I just thought, oh, Min is Chinese, because I literally went to my dad and said, oh my gosh, like, Min is Chinese, he needs to do the podcast, because you even said, like, oh, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, he's Chinese.
Well, now it's a learning experience. Like, you learned something new today.
Okay, come on, calendar ghouls. We're getting into it. So, if you didn't know, listeners, baby, the Chinese New Year is for everybody now. It's the Lunar New Year. Yeah. Okay, so this is a official Vietnamese red envelope. And do I open it or do I keep it for prosperity or something?
You can open it. Just a little bit of cash.
Money
for good luck for the new year.
Why are you giving me money?
Because I'm your elder, I guess.
Oh my gosh, you guys, it is a crisp $2 bill.
Has to be brand new money. So, I mean, like, if ever you're feeling lucky, you can keep it with you year round. If you ever feel lucky, like, this is what I'm going to spend this money on.
Oh. That's what you do. Okay, well, I'm putting it back in the envelope because we're keeping this for something special. Thank you so much, Min. Oh my gosh, this is so... You guys, we're celebrating different holidays on Calendar Ghouls. So fun, so exciting. Thank you so much for that. What else do we need to know? I feel like now you've just sort of like cracked everything I thought I knew about the Chinese New Year. Is there anything else that we need to know?
I'm not sure. I mean, like, that's just how we celebrate. It's like in Vietnam, I think they celebrate for, like, a week straight.
Work.
So it's, like, the first day of New Year's, the second day of New Year's, the third day of New Year's, and I believe, like, nothing's open. Like, everyone's just at home celebrating.
Oh, I love that. Let's get into that. I'll start celebrating if it means we get a week off of work and we all just get to kiki and have fun. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, we got to start some waivers, you guys, because we got to make sure that the people know we got to make this a bank holiday. We got to make this tradition. We're celebrating the Lunar New Year. This is really...
now.
Oh my...
California.
Come on, California. Okay, Queen Min literally educating me on everything right now. I'm living as if I don't have pages of notes in front of me that are, I guess, all wrong. But live, love, laugh, everyone. We all make mistakes. So... tell me, I know there's not any Chinese New Year, Lunar New Year horror films, but other than that, do you have any favorite holidays or holiday horror films?
I do not.
You don't have any favorite holidays, period?
No, I hate holidays.
But you're on Calendar Ghouls.
I'm just joking. I mean, I love me some Halloween.
Okay.
That's...
I'm going to shut him up right now. This queen has the biggest Christmas tree out of every single person I know.
That's true, I guess. I mean, like, I love Halloween because it's the start of everything. So that's when it all starts. And then it's just, it's nonstop until, I don't know,
Lunar New Year. Yeah. Okay, so you like the holiday trifecta of Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, into then New Year's, Lunar New Year.
Yeah, and I fully give Thanksgiving its moment.
Okay, hot.
Yeah.
I love that. Do you have any favorite horror films associated with those, or are you not very familiar with any holiday horror?
No. I feel like listening to your podcast makes me aware of other holiday films. I mean, there's always random holiday films you see, but like classic holiday films you see, it's something new. Like I find myself trying to watch and look up things because of you. So,
oh well, thank you. I'll take it. I mean, that was sort of one of the reasons I wanted to start this podcast, is because there are such niche funny films that have to do with estranged holidays. Obviously, we had to go on a bit of a stretch with the Lunar New Year. As you guys know, this is the year of the rabbit, so it only made sense to me that I would find a rabbit horror film. And not just like Easter Bunny rabbit, but like Attack of the Rabbit. I wanted a rabbit as the center of this film. What makes the Year of the Rabbit special versus what was, I know it was like a year of a chicken, right? There's like a year of a bat. Like, do you know anything about that?
It's the zodiac. So every 12 years, it's a whole, like, series of 12 animals, I guess. So every 12 years, you come back to your year. So I was born in 1989, so that was the year of the snake. So every 12 years...
Wait, same with... Hold on. 1989, as in, like, Taylor Swift, 1989, Reputation, the snake?
Yeah.
She's born in the year of the snake? Everything is coming together. Also, you're kind of snaky too, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Slytherin, House of Slytherin, represent, so.
Wait, I want to know what animal I was born.
What year, let's look it up. What year were you born?
Okay, I was born in 1994.
You were born in the year of the dog.
Okay, year of the dog, that is very on brand. 100% can relate. Dedicated, loyal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before the film, we need to get into one thing, and that is your little dog, Toby, and you made the cutest little Lunar New Year photo shoot with him.
Yes, I did. I mean, I'm obsessed with him, so I try to figure everything out.
Where did you get that little New Year, like, Lunar New Year outfit? Was this like a Build-A-Bear outfit?
No, I made it myself.
You made it?
Yeah. Oh, I tried to find something on Etsy. I could not. So I decided to, you know, make it myself. If you can't find it, make it yourself. So that's what I did.
Okay, well, for those who are listening, go on... Is it on Toby's Instagram? Where is this photo? Or is it on your Instagram?
It's on his Instagram. It's on his TikTok. I'm that dog dad now, so...
Okay, plug it, because people need to see it.
It's,
Isn't it like Totes Toby?
It's Totes Tobes on Instagram, and It's Totes Tobe on TikTok as well. So TOTES.TOBES.
Perfect. Per. Okay, so now we're at Year of the Rabbit. So fun, so exciting. Is there any fun attributes with the Year of the Rabbit that we need to know about?
I do not know.
When I think of rabbits, I literally just think of, like, being fertile.
Probably. I mean, like, I sometimes I feel like you can spin it anyway.
So with that being said, I think it's time we get into it. First things first, I love to ask, would you recommend this film, yes or no?
Actually, yes, I would.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, why?
I really just loved everything about it. I saw this trailer.
you are such a liar, but no, I'll commit.
I really did. Like, I saw the trailer and I was like, but after I watched it, it was just like fairly entertaining.
It's very entertaining.
Yeah. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
It is high camp. No matter how scary they try to make these rabbits, there was just no way.
Yeah, that's what I love about it. Like, it was just very high camp.
All right, so now it's time to dive into the 1972 classic Night of the Lepus. Obviously, this was a play on Night of the Living Dead. That was sort of its original goal. There is some confusion as to the origin of the story. One report said that it was originally going to be about lepers, and it was going to be called Night of the Lepers, but an executive at MGM spilt wine over the title page and made a joke to his daughter that he thought it said Night of the Lepus, and what if it was a film about killer rabbits? His daughter thought that that was super funny, and so he called, you know, his writers and said, we gotta make some edits and make this a killer rabbit film. I don't know how true that is, because something tells me that the true story is that this is actually based off of the novel The Year of the Angry Rabbit, written in 1964 by Russell Braddon. So I don't know if you're familiar with this. Lepus is obviously hare in Latin. The film was originally supposed to just be called Rabbits, but they thought that audiences wouldn't think it was too scary if they just knew it was about a killer rabbit. But based on a true story, something similar to this happened, in that there was a massive rabbit outbreak in Australia in the 1940s. Are you familiar with that story?
No, I did not know.
So at the very beginning of the film, this like footage, you know, plays of, oh, we're in Australia and there's a rabbit outbreak and they can't stop and they brought them in to eat, you know, eat this, but then they overpopulated. Well, that's a true story. The rabbit population accumulated to about 600 million rabbits. In the 1940s, it was an epidemic. It was a huge outbreak, in that they say it's because of the rainfalls that were happening. There was such a good harvest, and while people were out fighting World War II, there wasn't like men to do maintenance on the rabbits, to sort of like crowd control, because people were fighting. Mm-hmm. So the rabbits just like took over. And it became this massive issue in Australia. Sort of still is. There's about 200 million rabbits in Australia nowadays. And people say that there's always going to be this sort of running joke about rabbits in Australia. Which I didn't even really know. I didn't know rabbits were like a thing in Australia.
I had no idea. I had no idea that it was kind of based on something that happened. But I guess I could see that.
So when you are watching this and they immediately start talking about there's this scientist who tries to, you know, find holistic or natural ways to crowd control the animal population with, oh, we are recording the bat sound so that we know what they're scared of, so we can use the bats to control the mosquito problem. And, you know, originally they say that there was a coyote problem they took care of, But now there weren't any coyotes, and that is why we now have a rabbit issue in this sort of Midwest town, which I say Midwest, but I actually think it's taking place in Arizona. As a scientist, as a chemist, when you're dealing with like the water pollutions and everything, are you having to also keep track of like animals and all that kind of stuff, or is it simply just like water?
We check everything in the waters, like if the fish are alive in the water, if the water is affecting, you know, birds or anything around, just wildlife in general, making sure what we do to our cleaned water is kind of not killing nature. But yeah, everything is sort of like trial and error if you're trying to figure out something. So I can see what they're trying to do, how things are, you know, one thing's not working and then they're going to try another thing. So let's, if, you know, the noises of the bats aren't working, try to figure out, you know, something else that might scare off the rabbits. I don't know.
Obviously, this movie was made in 1972. And I say that because I don't know if I've seen a sort of animal testing lab just so, like, normal in a long time. Like, ever since Legally Blonde, Red, White, and Blonde, the sequel, where she, like, protests dog testing on cosmetics, mm-hmm. I feel like I haven't seen any sort of, like, animal testing plot lines. Because I was sort of taken aback at the couple grabbing the rabbits and like putting them in cages and needing to inject them with stuff, and then the little girls just like there watching.
It was a little aggressive to watch, honestly, but I mean, times were different back then.
I mean, I think in some spaces people are still doing that. I mean, it's not like animal testing is just like gone for forever.
Yeah, frowned upon, but not gone, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely was strangely difficult to watch the first half, being that the second half was so unbelievably campy. Mm-hmm. I was so uncomfortable with...
Yes. Yeah, the, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. What is that even called? Not a biologist, but...
It's science.
Whatever, I mean, whatever his study was. It's science. This all happens because in the very beginning, our main cowboy is riding his horse, and the horse breaks its leg because it falls in a rabbit hole. He then has to kill his horse on sight, and he's over it. He's like, we got to take care of the situation. Bring in the pros. The rabbits are beyond what I'm able to handle. When you were watching this, did you think for a second, like, what is this movie going to be about?
A little bit. I mean, yeah, it was kind of weird from the get-go. And then the noises of the rabbits just didn't make sense to me. It was a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as things kind of progressed, I was intrigued, I guess is the better word. I don't know.
For those who haven't watched the movie, to sort of keep you guys all up to speed, they bring in this couple to do some tests on why the rabbit population is out of control and what can they do humanely and naturally to take care of it. They decide to grab about 20 test subjects and inject them with different hormones because they're hoping that this will be able to block reproductive systems within the rabbits so that they cannot mate. For those of you guys who don't know, rabbits have two hobbies, and it's eating and mating. We'll just say that. So much so that they started this production with about 24 rabbits and ended with about 100 because the rabbits on set continued to mate. This obviously worked out for them when they had to film the stampede at the end, but rabbits are hard to make vicious, and when all they do is eat, you know, you sort of gotta spook them a bit to get them to make some faces. The noises you were talking about were literally just rabbits yawning.
Like, were they really?
Yes. They just changed the sound of rabbits yawning, and all the footage of their mouths being open is just when they were yawning.
Oh, wow. I just love that. It just it became like their like horror themed. So anytime the rabbits were coming, you would hear that noise. Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of them. And you're like, oh no, here it comes. It's kind of like the you know, the Halloween theme song when you see Michael Myers like, show up. It was just...
And I loved how there was really wasn't that much of a soundtrack in this film. And the sound they used was that of Stampede and Rabbit Roars and little, like, you know, little noises like that. It made it feel so much more real. It felt like they were taking it really seriously, you know? And I think that's why this film, in my opinion, was just such high camp. It's because nobody was making a mockery out of the fact that rabbits were attacking them. Like, these actors were on it. Mm. Would you agree?
Yeah, no, yeah, I agree.
Fun fact about the actors, the two leads, Stuart Whitman and Janet Leigh, are actually Oscar-nominated actors. So you're coming in with high-profile stars. And for those of you who don't know, Janet Leigh is Jamie Lee Curtis's mother. So there you go. And Janet refused to let Jamie Leigh and her other daughter, Kelly, participate because they thought the kids would be too scared on the set of a horror film. Little did she know Jamie Lee Curtis would become the Scream Queen. Going back to the plot, in the scientist lab, they inject one of the rabbits with a sort of hormone that they get that they haven't been able to test. They don't really know what it's going to do. It's some sort of genetic mutation. They put it in a rabbit, their daughter's favorite rabbit. And the daughter manages to steal the rabbit out of its cage. And unfortunately, it gets let loose, goes into the wild. And therefore, we have gigantic, like homogenous, humongous rabbits. What was your reaction when the plot line starts building and they're seeing paw prints in the dirt? Did you immediately think like, oh my god, it's a giant rabbit?
I did not. But I mean, just as they were explaining, this rabbit's growing. And I was like, oh yeah, it's a rabbit. And the fact that they like, I mean, it's all based around the rabbit. It's clear that it's going to be a rabbit. I did not expect the amount of giant rabbits. I thought it was just one big rabbit just terrorizing, like, Godzilla style. But, rabbits multiply. That's what happens.
I was thinking the same thing. I thought to myself, oh my god, this is going to be some giant rabbit that starts, like, growing and growing and growing, taking over the town. I didn't know that, because they show you, like, the paw prints, and you see, when the little girl's in the cave, the one giant rabbit, like, standing over a dead body. I did not even think, like, there's going to be multiples. I thought that was such a fun little treat, once, especially towards the end, when these rabbits are, like, stampeding through a town, destroying everything.
Yeah.
We got to talk about the kills, because these deaths were violent. They were so... When they would pan to someone's dead body, and it would be like a severed human being. Limbs torn apart, blood everywhere. That caught me so off guard.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, but if you think about it, that's what rabbits do. They just gnaw at things and just, I don't know, destroy things.
And they were holding no prisoners. There was the one scene where they're like, there's a family, there's a father and a wife and their two kids, they're dead. Like, this rabbit was killing children. Like, this movie was so determined to build up this horror of this monster you weren't even sure of. Obviously, we know it's gonna be a rabbit.
Yeah, they're on a rampage. And I just love that they only were on the move at night. In the morning, they're just sleeping.
Oh, yeah. They're, like, in a cave or in their little burrow or whatever. There were so many funny continuity issues, though, because there would be footage of, like, the rabbits running at night and then, like, cows running in the daytime. And then it would go back to the rabbits running at night. I'm like, what is going... Like, there was one scene where the rabbits are running towards the end. You can literally see the handler, like, in the back, like, shooing them, like, shoo, like, go, keep running, because this film was mostly made on miniature sets for the rabbits. So they made little miniature sets of everything, had the rabbits run through them, And it's only a few times where they superimpose, like, the rabbit to scale on. Like, there's one scene where there's, like, a car, and they obviously had to, like, make it larger. But I loved that. And then when the rabbit is attacking them, like, attacking the people killing them, it's literally, like, a man in a rabbit suit.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I love about this movie, really. There's no CGI. It's just, like, using your imagination to come up with how to make these rabbits look enormous. And, like, props to the set, the miniature set designer. Like, it just looked great, I think.
And a lot of the camera angles really did a good job of, like, building scale. And I thought it was so funny. Apparently, they put, like, ketchup on the rabbits to, like, cover them in blood.
Yeah.
That is so funny to me. You know, when they were promoting this film, the whole point was it was supposed to be a mystery. You didn't know why. And you didn't know what the film was going to be about. That's why they wouldn't title the film Rabbits, you know? But, of course, someone on the production team, someone on the advertisement team released, like, merch of little rabbit feet, like, covered in blood that they sent out for, you know, promotional use. Like, sweetie, you're sort of revealing the secret doll.
Yeah.
But you know what? We forgive. We forget. All I know is I would love to do something like this. I would love to be in a film where they say, there's a killer rabbit, like, run. I just thought that was so fun. They literally get everyone involved with this. They're calling the police. They're calling the National Guard. This is becoming, like, high security moment. I mean, the final scene when there's literally, like, rows and rows and rows of cars, and it feels like a militia, and they're all holding guns. Like, there's helicopters. Oh my gosh. Like, they were literally doing everything they could to stop these evil bunnies. Well, and I just...
It's a threat. There's millions of them, and they're just enormous and just terrorizing and gnawing people to pieces.
I know, but it's just so fun to watch because... That's what I mean. Like, they just took it so seriously. But you as them, there is no audience member that is going to find this scary. Like, it is, it's funny.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it because of it. I mean.
I was living. Part of me always tries to think, like, what's the metaphor behind this? Like, anytime I watch a horror film, I always think that it's some bigger plot line where I'm like, okay, so this is about population control in some country and, you know, the habits, you know. Mm-hmm. No, I literally think this was about that story on Australia, and someone was like, yep, let's make it a movie.
Let's make them killer rabbits.
People need to be doing this. We need a reboot. We need a remake. I gotta see this again. Would you watch a reboot?
I would love to see a reboot of this, because I mean, like, they'll just make it even more wild. I would need it to be even more camp what it is.
But it can't be CGI. I need full practical effects. Like, because if it's a CGI rabbit, that's too easy.
Yeah. No, you know? We need old Hollywood on this. I loved it for that reason.
Completely agree. Completely agree. Because I think what makes it so good are the little mistakes. You know, when the guy is shooting through his basement door. Mm-hmm. And you see the, like, blood, like, paint splur out. And, like, as if it's shooting the rabbits. But then it cuts back to him. There are no holes. There are no holes in any of the wood of the basement door. Just, I found it so charming. And I think that had a lot to do with the fact that they did hire good actors.
Yeah, I agree. I'm Academy Award winning actors.
Even the little girl, like, she was serving. Every single person in this film committed to the bit, and a round of applause. Because, you guys, I was living. I do want to talk about how the scientist, the community, everyone is trying to figure out how to escape these gigantic rabbits, because obviously they're just thinking to themselves, like, there's some sort of genetic mutation. But not once do we ever question, like, how? Why? Where did this all start? They think that, did they ever say, did one of their test rabbits get out?
No. I mean, he didn't know. The call was coming from inside the house, but he didn't know.
Yes.
It's the daughter.
The daughter whose rabbit she took out. First of all, she should have never even been in that animal lab testing site. The daughter who takes a rabbit, the injected rabbit, and then, oop, lets it go, is to blame for the death of multiple people.
It's always the children. The children are always the problem.
This is why, speaking of population control, this is why we need to stop having kids.
There's your meaning. There's your meaning of your movie.
This is the metaphor, you guys. Population control. Kids are to blame for everything. The world is dying and we need solutions. We need solutions. One of their solutions to the rabbits was to set all their farm on fire. I didn't understand that.
That was a lot. That was a lot.
Why would someone do that?
I don't know. And the dynamite just blowing them up.
That one scene where they're like, oh, this is where the water was last year. Like, oh, this little stream is coming back. Did you find that relatable?
I guess. I mean, sometimes.
Were you like, oh, I would love to test that water. I'm sure it's full of information, full of data. I did think that a lot of the camera work and the techniques, like the scene where they're putting the speaker down or the dynamite, and it's sort of like an eye, like a human eye shape. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really good shot. Obviously, all the shots with the miniatures were really fun and creative. I just feel like this would have been a really fun film to make, but I'm under the impression that Janet Leigh, like, hated working on this film.
I mean, it's a movie about killer rabbits. I mean, it's hard, but I loved it. So, I mean,
I did too. I mean, but I think
40 years later,
I think that has a lot to do with retrospect. Like, I could definitely see this. Like, they screened this movie on Turner Classic Movies because it's sort of like a underground hit. Mm-hmm. You know, I can definitely see this movie getting a little bit of a renaissance because of how joyful it is in the watch. But yeah, she complained in an interview saying that the only reason she made this film is because it was close to home. She could spend much more time with her kids, but she was doing everything she could to forget everything about it. So there was some drama on set.
I don't know. 40, how many years? More than 40.
Yeah, I mean, the film was made in 72, so just about 50 years.
50 years later, we're talking about her.
Yeah, Year of the Rabbit, let's go. This is, I'm naming it, this is the rabbit film to watch for Year of the Rabbit.
I agree, this is it.
I thought it was the perfect film because I obviously have films lined up for Easter, but that's clearly about an Easter bunny. Mm-hmm. And this was so pure in that it was simply about a rabbit. Mm-hmm. Obviously has nothing to do with a holiday, but, you know, we think of killer sharks, we've seen killer alligators, we've seen so many different animals. I mean, even like insects, you know, but never in my life did I think I would watch a movie about killer rabbits.
And I mean, let's say you come across a huge, enormous rabbit right now. That's scary.
That is scary.
Just like with their giant teeth and it's gonna tear you apart. It is scary if you think about it, if it actually happened, but...
Okay, I'm having some like weird nostalgia hit me right now. Was there some like, when we were kids and there was that like Scholastic school library, was there some book about a vampire rabbit?
I don't know.
Okay, hold on you guys. We need to look this up because I'm suddenly under the impression that I can see the book cover in my head of this, like, horror rabbit children's book.
Banicula?
Banicula. Oh my gosh.
Is this it?
That's it. I cannot believe I remember this book cover. Banicula.
Oh, yeah, that's totally it.
Banicula Strikes Again. Oh, you guys, we just hit the jackpot. So, for anybody who's watching this movie and they loved a horror rabbit and they want to know how to celebrate the Lunar New Year, the Year of the Rabbit, you guys, Banicula is, I feel like we got to take a deeper dive. Like,
lock up your artichokes, Banicula
Strikes Again. What a tagline. So, you know what's super funny when it comes to taglines? The original promotion for this movie, they didn't want any rabbits on it, you know, so it was sort of hard to sell. But once it came out that, like, yes, this was about rabbits, and they sort of rebranded and started putting rabbits on the posters. Mm-hmm. The poster reads, "What's up, Doc?" That's funny.
Yeah, I love that.
That right there, I need a t-shirt. I need official merch. What's up, Doc? Obviously a rip on Bugs Bunny. Mm-hmm. But this is about a rabbit that kills the scientist that inhumanely tested on him.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You guys, I was living. I would recommend it, like you said earlier. It's definitely worth a watch. It does get a little... It gets better as it goes.
It does. And, like, you just... It's entertaining. Like, that's all I could say about it. I mean, I loved it so much.
Like we said, the beginning half of it with the animal testing and them grabbing the rabbits and, like, shoving them in trash cans. It feels super violent. Like, I do know that they had rabbit wranglers on set and, you know... Apparently no animals were harmed in the making of this film. Mm-hmm. But, you know, except for the, like, stuffed bunny rabbit that they set on fire at the end. Oh my gosh, you guys. It is, like, there were bunny rabbits jumping through windows, like, breaking things. And if you catch this, one of the bunnies literally, like, jumps through a window to, like, attack some woman and eat her. Do you hear the window break? Nope. You don't. Pure silence.
Everything about this movie.
I could just go on and on and on about little dumb things, that mishaps that happened in this film, because it was so charming. Obviously, it ends with the destruction of all the bunnies. They are making an electrical fence, but with train tracks, and they're trying to herd all the rabbits, and there's, like, a National Guard, and they... set all the rabbits to flame. That shot was actually made with a string of firecrackers that they lit and then superimposed. So it looked like sparks and electricity were flying everywhere all over the rabbits. And, you know, the day is saved. Not once do we blame this little girl, or does she get punished. So, like, I guess good for you, sis. Last time you ever get a pet. But yeah, I'm really glad that we watched this film. It was fun to sort of celebrate the Year of the Rabbit together by watching this really campy film. I do think that probably most famous part about this film is that it's the movie that is playing when Neo visits the Oracle in The Matrix. I love that it sort of finds its way, like, in the Netflix show, the Sabrina, the Teenage Witch Netflix show. What was that called? Like, Chilling Adventures with Sabrina. Mm-hmm. There's, like, a poster of Night of the Lepus, like, in the library. Like, it's so funny how it's living on in other spaces, like, unbeknownst to us.
Right.
But there is definitely a select group of people who have watched this movie and just absolutely fallen in love with it and, like, need to put references of it in their work and in the material, because love it or hate it, it's enjoyable. It is so hard to take this film seriously, and I think that's the best part of it.
Yeah, I agree. I love it.
And while I do think they did a really good job of, you know, making the rabbits feel really intimidating, like, there was one shot where the rabbit's, like, face is coming out of the ground, and he sort of jumps up, and they do everything they possibly can to make the rabbit look ginormous. Uh-huh. One thing stood out to me. Rabbits are herbivores.
Yes.
They don't eat meat.
That's probably why they just chewed these people up and, like, just ran off.
Not on them and was like, nah.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
Yeah, going to find, like, a giant carrot or something.
There was one scene where they're in a farm in this barn, and all these rabbits are chewing on what I'm guessing is a Brussels sprout, but I feel like they had to choose a Brussels sprout so it, to scale, was supposed to be a head of lettuce. Mm-hmm. The scale of everything was so comical to me. Like, even when Janet Lee, she, like, has a flare and is trying to keep the rabbits off, and she throws it, and it's the same size.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it have had to be, like, smaller?
Nope.
You know what? They didn't figure out everything, but I don't care. I was living. I was loving. I was laughing. In conclusion, Thank you so much for watching Night of the Lepus. I hope it added to your Lunar New Year celebration.
Thank you for inviting me to watch it. I didn't think I'd love it, to be honest, but after I watched it, I really do love it.
And of course, thank you for my little red envelope. It was so fun to celebrate the Lunar New Year.
Of course.
Min, where can the people find you to see your art, to see your creations, to see your scientific studies?
My art page is on Instagram at Min Draws Things, M-I-N-H Draws Things. I just draw mostly dogs. I love drawing dogs. I don't know why. They're just fun to draw. But I can draw anything. And, make sure to follow my dog page as well, because he's really cute. So, totes tobes.
Would highly recommend. Min is a ride or die, and his art is so cute and fun and the perfect gift for anybody. Would highly recommend. Although, I feel like, do we need a drawing of a rabbit? I feel like we need a rabbit.
A killer rabbit.
We need a killer rabbit drawing.
I will get on it.
What about your personal? You don't want people to find Minstagram?
I mean, there's the personal too. It's Minstagram _. Follow me. Thanks.
Once again, thank you for including me in your celebration. It was so fun to do this. So fun to learn a lot. I feel like I learned so much from you today. So, and I'm sure the listeners did too. So from all the listeners and myself, thank you so much. To everyone who's listening, I've been your host, Mr. He, at Mr. He Slasher on Instagram. Be sure to give it a like, a subscribe, a follow, a 5-star rating. Apparently, I haven't been saying that enough. But yes, leave a comment. Let me know what your thoughts on this film are. Anyway, it's been an honor to celebrate the holiday with you, and I can't wait to do it again. So let's make a date, and I'll see you next Tuesday.